From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. In the 2 years following Idaho's near-total abortion ban, a new coalition has formed. The group, which is called Idahoans United for Women and Families, is taking action. They're listening to the concerns of Idahoans as they work to put a piece of legislation on the 2026 ballot, one that would reinstate access to reproductive health care in our state. Our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, sat down with the group spokesperson, Melanie Falwell, to talk more about this effort. Let's take a listen.
What do you tell a stranger about this organization? By the way, I was looking at the list of members. It's an interesting mix of faith leaders, caregivers.
Correct, it is. And it's really reflective of our organization, which is a statewide or nonpartisan coalition of all kinds of people. As you mentioned, clergy, faith leaders, healthcare providers, concerned citizens, a lot of parents, a lot of grandparents, all kinds of people truly from every corner of this state, united around a shared goal of seeking a fix to Idaho's broken reproductive healthcare laws.
You have been traveling. You and your colleagues have been traveling around Idaho, yes?
Yes.
Well, I'm anxious to hear what you've been listening to. I'm assuming most of these are conversations. Can I imagine some of them emotional?
Very emotional.
Okay.
I think one of our biggest takeaways from those conversations is the urgency of this moment. Mm-hmm. Ballot initiatives are a slow process. Fixing law is a slow process often. And what we are really experiencing is how urgent and real and personal and often heart-rending these conversations really are, these stories from the front. We have heard from all kinds of women and the people who love them about unanticipated complications and needs in a pregnancy. We've heard from those women's doctors. We've heard from doctors about why it is increasingly difficult for them to provide the kind of care that they want to give. Your average doctor you meet, no matter what you hear, is not an activist, is not even a particularly political person. They are really driven by the need to care for their patients and get the best outcome for their patients. And unfortunately, we are getting bad outcomes in our hospitals, in our clinics. Women are being airlifted out of the state. We have an environment where doctors just doing their job of trying to provide care are being criminalized. They are concerned about fines and loss of license and loss of livelihood. And as a result, we are seeing them leave our state. In just the 2 years since our trigger ban became the law of the land, Idaho's lost 22% of our OBGYNs. And this was, of course, in a state where we did not have a great wealth of additional medical professionals. What's the other interesting thing we've heard is that a lot of those OBGYNs are married to other doctors. So when they leave our state, they take with them a GP, a cardiologist, some other medical specialist that we all depend on to make sure we're getting good health care in this state. We've seen labor and delivery units close. I have the strange experience of 20 years ago, I gave birth to a daughter at a hospital who has since closed their labor and delivery unit. And the doctor who delivered her spoke out about why that was. That we just cannot retain OBGYN staff. We cannot retain specialists in maternal medicine in this environment.
And as it is, Idaho, we have learned almost a third of our counties in Idaho are reproductive care deserts already on a good day.
Correct. Right. In North Idaho, we're hearing about women with typical pregnancies having to drive incredibly onerous amounts of miles just to get basic care. We're hearing about women not being able to access basic care, preventative care. This is something we expect to accelerate. This is not getting any better. During the legislative session, I believe someone mentioned we're in a hole and it's time to set down the shovel and stop digging.
This tour, if you will, I'm going to assume was a bit of a fact-finding tour. It was to inform. What are your options, or what might be your options going forward? What are you thinking about?
I think the great hope over the last 2 years was that we could get a fix in the legislature. Mm-hmm. The laws were plainly broken. They were laws by their own admission. They passed without thinking they would become the law of the land. And unfortunately, when you pass legislation like that and it does become the law of the land, you now have to govern with incredibly broken, problematic laws that create compounding problems for everyone. Though many in the legislature knew there was a problem, there was no fix. Though they heard from woman after woman, doctor after doctor, there was no fix. After two sessions of no fix, we Idahoans United for Women and Families is convinced that the best path forward in the absence of legislation is citizen legislation. And the great thing about Idaho is that we have the right to circulate a petition to put a piece of legislation on the ballot and let every voter in Idaho vote on that legislation and make our own laws. And that is what we intend to do.
Well, give me a year. It wouldn't be a 2025. It would be what, 2026?
Correct. Our goal would be on the ballot in November of 2026. That means that we would circulate a petition mm-hmm. between now and then. And by the end of April 2026, we would hit the qualification threshold to have enough signatures to be on the ballot.
I have to assume, only because we've seen some of this play out before, I have to assume that this could become litigious. Do you have support? Do you have legal support within your organization?
We would be foolish not to. Yeah. I think you are okay. Correct that it could become litigious. And we are very fortunate to have excellent representation and legal advice within our organization. Policy experts, legal experts, and also subject matter experts from the medical community.
We already know that there are a couple of myths that have been promoted by our Attorney General in regards to healthcare providers. Yeah. He chooses not to believe that they're leaving the state. We know that they are. What are some of the other things that more Idahoans might want to know about? My guess is for those people who are of childbearing age, they might know a little bit more than other people. What are some of the facts? Here's an opportunity to maybe set the record straight on a couple things.
So we've had no shortage of deep conversations with physicians, healthcare providers, women who are pregnant, women who want to be pregnant, women who were pregnant, truly understanding what is happening on the front lines of our hospitals and our clinics. The comments from our Attorney General have been incredibly disappointing. Our reaction to that is not one of surprise. It is disappointing. It's disheartening. We choose to believe our doctors, believe our physicians, and the reality is most Idahoans do too. Mm-hmm. When you know our research and our polling indicates that the majority of Idahoans believe that we get better outcomes when we make private medical decisions with a doctor, not a politician. The majority, the overwhelming majority of Idahoans believe that we all have feelings on this issue, on abortion, but we should not be imposing those feelings on other people. And our research has confirmed that over and over, and our conversations have confirmed that over and over. I think it's tough in a national environment that is so heated and so kind of binary. You're either this or you're that. It's black or it's white. The reality is people exist on a big spectrum on how they feel on reproductive health, on how they feel on abortion.
And the data on that in Idaho is bipartisan, right? This does cut across political aisles.
Absolutely does. Absolutely does. Yeah. This is a highly personal issue. It's a personal issue for people. And there is consensus around not believing that the government meddling in private sensitive decisions gets better outcomes.
Mm-hmm. All this said, it's tough not to acknowledge that we are in a political climate. Do you think it's also fair to say that it is a common question of voters of their state legislators, all of whom are on a ballot this year, to ask, how did you vote on this?
It's a very common question to ask that. I think that's a fair question. I think what you see here in Idaho, the very, very vocal minority has been driving the legislative agenda in this space for quite a while. And a lot of that can be attributed to the closed primary system, where a tiny part of the electorate is choosing the people who not only win in May, but will definitely win in November. And when it's a very vocal, small, highly partisan minority, you just don't get good results that reflect the majority of Idahoans.
But it still begs the question, right?
Yeah.
Tell me if it's none of my business. Why do you do what you do?
That's a fair question.
Okay.
I'm a lifelong Idahoan. Mm-hmm. I was raised in this state. I love this state. My family's been here for generations. And I raised an additional generation here. It is my deep desire to see this state through what I believe is an inflection point, is a crisis. I don't believe that if we continue on this path of dangerous, hyper-partisan, divisive, truly cruel legislation, that we can continue to be the Idaho of my childhood, of many people's childhood, of a place where you can build a life, raise a family, do it safely, express that freedom, and thrive. I am concerned about the collapse, a statewide collapse of our healthcare system. I am concerned that all of our major employers will no longer be able to attract and retain quality, smart, innovative people to the state. And I don't like what that future looks like. I don't like it for my kids. I don't like it for their kids. And so that's why I do what I do. And I also do it because there are legions of hero doctors and people and healthcare workers who are slogging it out, who are working every day towards something better, who are taking care of people in this moment. And I feel like it's the least we can do to come alongside them and seek to write the laws.
And as emotional as it may be on a singular level, can I also assume that you find strength and confidence in the wake of your tour around the state, which is to say confidence in numbers?
I think confidence in numbers and just one of the things I've been most moved by are the women who have lent their voice to this movement so far in telling their own stories, many of them incredibly sad. And I am very inspired by the purpose they've found in that grief. It's the thing that we've kind of talked about is grieving with a purpose. These are women who, for many of them, one of the worst days of their lives were met with additional hardship and, quite frankly, trauma because of Idaho's laws. And that trauma has extended out into their partners and their kids and their own families. And now they are seeking healing and help for others by lending their voice to this movement. I believe that there's truly nothing we can't solve when we're just in conversation with one another and treating each other as human beings. And we really seek to have this movement exemplify that.
Is it fair to say that you might have some news between now and, the end of the year?
Yes, I think so. Okay. I think that we're currently exploring options mm-hmm. on draft language for an initiative. We are unified in what goals we'd like to meet. One, we would like for doctors to stop leaving our state and to be willing to come to our state to practice medicine. That seems important. And two, we just want to create an environment where it feels safe and predictable to have a pregnancy, to be of childbearing age, to have the people you love be of childbearing age. Those are our two kind of North Stars, and we are seeking a policy that meets, helps us reach those stars.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.